إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله الذي بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في سبيله حتى أتاه اليقين اللهم صل على هذا النبي الأمي وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعلينا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في كلامه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومنهم من يقول ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وقنا في الدنيا حسنة وما له في الآخرة من خلاق ومنهم من يقول ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار أخرجه البخاري ومسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة أفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق والحياء شعبة من الإيمان أو كما قال عليه السلام All praise and glory be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Creator, Nourisher, Sustainer, Provider, Protector and Controller of every single thing in this Peace and salutation be upon our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam On his family members, companions, on every single Muslim brothers and sisters Who follows and who is following and will follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the day of Qiyamah My dear respected brothers and elders in Islam I would like to remind myself and each and every one of you with a reminder and the wasiya that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to remind in every khutbah that is ittaqullah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and live with his remembrance and conscious. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me and you the taqwa which is desired. My dear respected brothers and elders in Islam, we are living in a time, in an era where we as Muslims, based on our background, based on our culture, based on where we live, and how much exposure we have got when it comes to understanding of deen, each and every one of us have a different approach towards the deen, towards the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that nobody can change that. And say everybody is going to have the same approach towards the deen of Allah. No, that's not going to happen. Because people come from different backgrounds. The education, the understanding, the language, the upbringing, culture, all different. Based on the understanding and the emphasis which is given to them, they approach the religion, the deen in that time. But my respected brothers and elders in Islam, based on that, each and every one of us have different definition about what is religion and what should I prioritize in my life. Each and every one of us has a different thing. When it comes to religion, first we need to understand what is religion, what is deen. If you have the proper understanding and what is deen, what is Islam, and why am I supposed to follow this religion, then all the rest of the issues or rest of the things will fall in line. Now, when I ask myself, or if you ask a little boy just growing up, 5, 6 years old, you say religion means I should go and pray, I should go to madrasa, read Quran. Before I go to bed, I need to read the dua. When I go to washroom, I have certain etiquette to follow. His understanding about religion is that, and that is correct. That's not wrong. But we cannot confine the religion only to that. And you ask another person, he might say religion means reading Quran, giving charity,
fasting, hajj, we emphasize different things and we say this is what is really. But my respected brothers and elders in Islam, we need to understand the inclusivity and need to understand how vast the religion is and how much religion accommodates it comes to our worldly life, human life. If I'm going to give you a very beautiful definition about religion, a scholar very beautifully says, ask about what is being, what is religion. He read the ayah that what I read. He said, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابًا. Religion really means goodness in this world and goodness in hereafter and safeguarding yourself from hellfire. Safeguarding yourself from hellfire. Any act that's going to promote goodness, righteousness of a human life in this world, that act going to be considered to be a religious act. Any act, any action, anything, even you're driving in the street, you're walking, all those considered to be religion, if you do it in a such way that will promote goodness and righteousness amongst ourselves. And likewise, not only the goodness and the benefit of this world, we cannot forget that act has to benefit us in hereafter as well. We differentiate between us and others who do not believe in this complete religion. They will talk about the goodness of this worldly life. There is a word, generally, people who try to misquote the religion, they use the word called maslaha. Maslaha means the benefit and the goodness of human beings. They go to such extent and they say even the, you know, solid law can be bent for the maslaha, benefit of a human being. No, we don't understand in that way. Because if there is a law which is very clear and cut, that law cannot be bent an understanding of what is good for the human being of our understanding. No. All those acts which will harm an individual, a family, a community, which will bring a disaster, which will bring negativity for him in this world as well as in hereafter, and that act will take him to hellfire, all those acts considered to be a non-religious act, which is not approved by Almighty Allah. Our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu an and Imam Bukhari and Muslim have mentioned in their Sahihain, it's a very beautiful hadith which includes every part of life and does not explain about Iman. Islam is explained about Iman. Iman has 70 odd branches, more than 70. So many branches. It's all included in Iman. It is included in Islam, considered to be part of Islam. At most, number one, the most prioritized, without that, Iman cannot be considered to be Iman, is called La ilaha illallah. That is first. That is the entry. And then Rasulullah ﷺ did not mention what is in between. Went right down to the bottom of the list and say, Imafatul Adha al-Sariya. Removing something which is harmful from the street is also part of Iman. Allahu Akbar. It is part of Islam. See how? And then mentioned, Wal Hayaa shu'batun min al-Iman. In between, the modesty is part of Iman. Allah. So as a Muslim, as a person when we grow up, we may have different understanding what is religion is. But we need to educate ourselves, we need to read and we need to emphasize all acts which will promote peace, harmony, goodness, righteousness, bring tranquility, maintain good relationship, hygiene, all those considered to be religion, and you need to prioritize according to the time and the place where you live. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying the ummah. The module Ummah, the module community was the community of Madina to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that community you can find people from different backgrounds. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understand every individual. The ulama, the scholars of psychology, divide the human being, people who, into six different categories. When you become a human being, they have six different way of behavior, approach, mentality. How the approach is. Our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood and very beautifully articulated in the hadith saying, "An-nas ka ma'adin ka ma'adin al-zahri wal-fidda." People are so valuable. They are like treasures. They are mines and treasures of gold and silver. Gold and silver. And those who are very valuable, those who had goodness, righteousness before Islam as a human being, if he had good righteousness, good practice, good behavior, conduct before Islam and after Islam, if he understands Islam well, he will be a good person. خياركم في الجاهلية خياركم في الإسلام إذا فقهوا. If you understand the religion very well. So what we clearly understand, everybody is not in same category. All of us have different understandings. Unfortunately, as Muslims in this country, we have a history of more than 1,200 years. We can stretch it back to 1,200. We are in the Hijri 1,440. So about 200, some even stretch it back. The Arab traders came here even before Islam. They stretch it back and they say from the first century itself there is a relationship. But we can prove evidence from, 1,200 years of history. My respected brothers, it is unfortunate when it comes to promoting religion and religiosity. I want all of you to give a lot of attention because you may misunderstand what I am trying to say. Religion and religiosity. Do we consider an act driving in a proper way? Without obstructing anyone, do we consider it's a religious act? Do we have a religiosity in that? No, we don't. When we have an interaction with the nature, for example, planting a tree, cutting down a tree, or the cat, any living being, when we have an interaction, a relationship with any creation of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do we add the religiosity, the feeling of religiosity in that? No. The amount of feeling and the religiosity that we get when it comes to month of Ramadan, fasting, we do not have in that. The amount of religiosity, we get the feeling of religiosity when we come to masjid, we do not get that when we drive. Do we have that when we have that, our relationship with our fellow family members, do we feel this a religion? I need to be very careful. I need to handle very careful. I need to consult a scholar. I need to debate which is the most appropriate and which is the most closest to Sunnah. When it comes to Salah, there is no doubt. We need to pray as our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us. How much of debate and how much of emphasis that we put on in praying and perfecting our Salah. Perfecting our recitation, perfecting our fast, and debating on the rules and regulations and jurisprudence of fasting. Do we emphasize at least the 50% of it when it comes to our interaction with our fellow brothers and sisters? Do we ask a scholar about it? Do we consult? No. Because we have not been put, our mind is not being trained those things to be which is really. But our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very clearly emphasized in one of the khutbah also I mentioned in the same minbar about the sanctity of life. And the Dhul Hijjah, on the day of Arafah, in Masjid al-Haram, in front of the Kaaba, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking at the Kaaba and communicating with the Kaaba and said, the honor and the dignity of a life, of a Muslim life, of a human being is greater in the eyes of Allah than the Kaaba. When we go for Hajj and Umrah, how much of feeling we get that towards the Kaabatullah? How much of religiosity is attached in that? How much of spirituality is attached into that? Do we have that spirituality? Just basic love, every day you come for khutbah here. Every week you come, every day you come for salah. You may find some, caretakers, watchers, who take care of your shoes, who is the security. When you greet him, when you say salah, do you have a feeling of respect and honor? And do you think this person is so important? Do we consider that? If you do not get that feeling, so and so is so important, that means there is something wrong the way we are thinking. You are able to perform salah peacefully because there is a security, is taking care of your vehicle, taking care of your shoe, taking care of whatever belongs to your left hand,
Allahu Akbar, even though he is not present here. Remember, according to the deen, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of you, all the reward, every member who is standing in the musalla, the reward is going to him.
So when it comes to, you need to have that religiosity, you need to feel jealous about it. You know, my Allah has not given me this opportunity, so I should greet him, say salam, and at least request him to make dua for me. Do we have that feeling now?
We do not get that. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, this is what we have to train our children. What we do is, we have a set of syllabus which we have grasped it as this is what is religion. And then we emphasize this. We need to emphasize in every single thing, whatever is going to benefit. And consider those. Business, when you leave the masjid and you're going to your company, you're going to your office, you should have the feeling this is religion, I have to do it according to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have that feeling, you're going to be trustworthy. Because you're not going to play around with your salah. You're not going to play around with your fasting. As you try to do as best as you can, you're not going to fool yourself. So when you go there, you need to have that. A farmer should feel that this is a religious act that Allah has given me the opportunity to cultivate, harvest, and feed through my effort. So many millions and thousands of people have been fed. Traders should feel that Allah has given me opportunity to be a mediator. Mediator of getting the goods, commodity, and getting into the market and fulfill the needs and the wants of the people. If you do not have, and if you do not have an attitude towards this, then everything becomes what? Act which is not pleased by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu, there was a huge famine in Medina. He was a big tradesman. He used to trade with Syria and used to trade with Kufa. A lot of goods used to come to Medina. The time of famine, you know, groceries are very expensive. Big loads of, according to the narration, hundreds of camels. Loads of goods, caravan has arrived in Medina. He is a wholesaler. The retailers went and approached and said, okay, let us negotiate price. He's a wholesaler. He has to give it to the retailer. The retailer said, you know, there is a good price in market, there is famine, there is a big demand, price is high. We are going to give you 1-to-1. If you have bought for 100 rupees, we are ready to pay you 200 and buy it for you. Then Abdurrahman ibn Awf said, I have got a better price. Then they keep bargaining 1, 2, 3, 4 times. Then he said, much more than that we cannot do because you cannot sell that price. He said, anyone else, there is anybody who can pay more in this Medina? No one. If anybody is there, you come up. Rahman ibn Awf said, my Allah is ready to pay me 10 times. I have not bought this goods to make use of this opportunity. My trading, yes, I'm a businessman. There is a time of need here. I have brought this to give it free. I'm trading today with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what, because they consider trading to be a religious act. Consider to be a trading a religious act. And it is their obligation and to do it in the best way, in the interest of the best, you know, for the human. My respected brother, we complain, we look at the ruler, and we all say, democracy has to prevail. Please listen to us. Our votes matter. Our voice matters. But my respected brother, do we consider and do we really take care of people who are under us? If we are fulfilling our duty towards those who are working with us, trading with us, employed by us, who are interacting with us, definitely Allah will be merciful and He will send set of rulers who will be merciful on us. This is a beautiful dua. لَا تُصَلِّفْ عَلَيْنَا مَنْ لَا يَخَافُكَ فِيْنَا وَلَا يَرْحَمُكَ. Allah, do not put on us leaders who are not going to be merciful towards us, kind towards us. All these policies have to be made to be merciful to the general public, every individual who walks in the street. My respected brothers and elders of Islam, first we need to understand all those are religious acts and contributing according to your capacity, your ability, your competence,
towards the betterment of human being is a religious act.
But there is a basic three pillars. Actually, there's five pillars in Islam, but I'm breaking it down into three. I'm not introducing a new religion, new number. Islam has five pillars. But all five of them does not become compulsory for everybody. For example, fasting, when a person is sick, when he's traveling, when he's reached old age, he's finding it difficult to fast, it's not compulsory for him.
Hajj, if he doesn't, physically is not strong, financially is not sound, Hajj is not compulsory. Zakah, if you do not have wealth, the amount which is prescribed the nisab, zakah is not compulsory. So, all those main three principles, but it becomes compulsory for some people at some time, and then it's not compulsory for others. But among those five pillars, two important things are there, which is compulsory for every single individual Muslim, which is Iman, faith, and salah.
He cannot compromise. Along with that, I am adding another principle in Islam, that you can go through every ayah in the Quran, and you can go through in every hadith, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will find that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized that. That is akhlaq, character. No one can compromise. As Muslim, you cannot compromise. Your iman, faith in trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trusting Allah. You know at this moment what has happened. What is happening around in political world, everybody is saying that might happen, this might happen. You see, democracy is there. If you remember, there's one Allah above deciding things and changing things. If we change, if our heart becomes pure, then Allah will send rulers who is good to us. The iman, faith, is something which we cannot compromise at all. No one. No one can compromise. At every second in your life, till you meet Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to work on your iman. Second is your salah, five times salah. When you're a traveler, you can combine. You can shorten your salah. When you're in deathbed, if you're unable to, you know, stand up or sit, you have to even pray with your conscience. You need to use the eyes and pray. This is what the fuqaha explained. In the battlefield, while it's given the explanation how you can perform salah in jama'ah or individually, or if not, the, you know, battle is going on, while the battle is on, how you going to pray? All those instructions have been given.
Iman and salah cannot be compromised.
And then third, the akhlaq. Akhlaq is something very important, and if you say the basic of akhlaq is that your action should not harm anyone else. Don't need to be good towards anyone. Don't need to favor anyone. The best of akhlaq is don't harm anyone. Verbally, your behavior, if you can do that through your intention and in ill feeling about someone, it's a bad character. You're not uttering a word, but you think, oh, this man, hey, he's not good. He's a sinner. Allahu Akbar. Having a bad thought about a Muslim, or looking down upon a Muslim, say, he's lower than me. Abdullah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بِحَدِّ مُرِئٍ مِنَ الشَّرْءِ يَكْرَ حَرْءٍ. Looking low, disgrace for your Muslim brother, that is sufficient for all evil. Allahu Akbar. This three you cannot. This every individual, you can be a doctor, you can be an engineer, you can be a politician, you can be an imam, you can be a street worker, you can be in any part of the community. You can be a father, you can be a son, a businessman, employer, employee, no compromising in this three. Iman, salah and akhlaq. This everybody has to emphasize at all times. But after that, it depends on who you are. If Allah has given you wealth, then you need to be prioritizing something else other than. If Allah has given you, you need to emphasize on that. If Allah has given you knowledge, after these three, Iman, Salah and Akhlaq, you need to prioritize the knowledge, learning and spreading it. If Allah has given you ability, the strength, this is how our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to understand. Unfortunately, for 1200 years, one of the mistakes that we have done as imams, as well as sometimes, imams don't intend to do that, but our audience misunderstands. When it comes to month of Muharram, or month of Ramadan, we speak about Tawbah, Istighfar, Tilawatul Quran. Yes, at that time you need to emphasize that. But we don't look at the holistic picture of the entire religion, and then we just, what you call, just seclude ourselves into certain behavior. Unfortunately, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam identify every individual and he trained them. Example, it's not compulsory everyone to be a faqih, everyone to be a learned religion scholar. No, it's not compulsory everyone to be a qari. In the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everyone was not a qari. They were not given that title. And it was not, it is compulsory for everyone to be a big businessman and giving a charity, a donor. No, there were different people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided them in such a one hadith and I will conclude. Before we did not balance this understand and we did not guide the humanity, our community in this way, we see a huge imbalance. There is a group of people called, known as religious people, and there's another group of people considered in our community, they are not religious. No. If you're a Muslim, you are religious in every field of your life. Then only you are Muslim. If you're a mu'min, you have to be religious in every field of your life. There's no compromising. But your emphasis as contributing to the community, to humanity, to the creation of Allah, as your responsibility is different. For example, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, there is enough of ahadith, things of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which emphasize of planting trees. He said, it is sadaqa jariyah. A bird come and, you know, eat from it, benefit from it, anybody gets shade from it, all are benefited. And Rasulullah, Al-Quran also gives examples for iman, kalima, tayyiba, for a good tree. Because tree is so beneficial. It balances our ecosystem. We don't understand that. It is a religious obligation for every Muslim to protect every tree in this world. Religious obligation. We don't understand that. Enough of emphasizing. But one, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, a famous Sahabi, he was busy planting some tree. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Hurairah, shall I inform you, teach you something greater than this? Great plantation that, what are you doing? Said, Subhanallah, a tree will be planted in Jannah. Sometimes we misunderstand this hadith. Hadith 95% of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not general hadith for everyone. It is individually addressed to different sahabas at different times. Scholars study deeply on this hadith and they say, this is not contradicting any hadith where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promoting the plantation, you know, on trees. No. Doesn't contradict. The person who is doing it is wrong person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have identified him to do something else. His job is to be in Masjid al-Nabawi amongst the Ashab al-Suffah and learn ahadith. He has a good memory. If Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged him to do those planting, he will not be in the Masjid, there will be. He will be out in the farm planting trees. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without discouraging him break, he told Abu Hurairah, better for you to say Subhanallah, you come to Masjid, then you're going to be in Masjid. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu became a great muhaddith who has narrated such number of hadith in a short period of time, no sahabi can make. So understood what is the role of every individual. So we need to understand as father, as community leader, as people who go around, we need to understand it's not a company, we manufacture things that are good, everybody train and set out. It's not a farm like that. We need to empathize and guide. So my respected brothers, need of the hour is prioritizing what every individual should do after I said iman, salah and akhlaq. And then as community, we need to... Our businessmen, don't tell the businessmen, stop that, come and become a faqih. No, you need to train them to become a good businessman and make more money where they can contribute to the ummah. Don't tell them to come and sit in the masjid 24/7. If you find a student who is learning, who can explore, yes, tell him to do the basic salah, iman, salah and akhlaq, and tell him, emphasize, give your time for learning. This is preparing the ummah. Don't tell him come and sit here 24/7. Umar radiallahu anhu used to come in the Masjid al-Nabawi at the time of, you know, trading, and you see any young man who is supposed to get hurt is there in the Masjid reading Quran or making salah, you should chase him. Get out. This is not the time for salah. You need to go and earn now. Make a good living, live a respectful life. You cannot raise hands. We don't do that.
we need to prioritize the time and understand who should do what after our basic responsibility of iman, salah and akhlaq. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and you the understanding. We try to emphasize and prioritize with our deen activities, our religious activities, and approach every good righteous deed to be a religious. Wa akhu da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.